Welcome back to Forbidden Knowledge News. I'm your host, Chris Matthew. Tonight, I want to welcome Ronald Russell Farnham. He is an authorized representative and owner of Ronald Russell Farnham. He was an Army intelligence analyst, counterterrorism analyst, Korean linguist, and trained special forces analyst at Headquarters Central Command and Special Operations Command. He held the top secret clearance for 15 years and resigned from Headquarters Special Operations Command with a mission to end war and poverty. He believes he has the solution with his fourth and newest book titled The Solution, an instruction manual for sovereignty and freedom. He is an actor, writer, producer, director, and member of the Screen Actors Guild. Currently, he is giving away his sovereignty movie for free on YouTube at The Ronald Show 2011. He is donating a percentage of his book sales from today's interview, an effort to help truthers who are being systematically trolled by the forces of evil such as the Department of Defense, Google, and YouTube. Ronald, welcome. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, thanks so much for having me on, man. I really appreciate it. I know that you're excited for me to, you know, spread this solution information. And I tell you, we are now at a critical juncture. And I think I just really appreciate this opportunity to connect with a bunch of people all at once.
Definitely. Yeah, I've been looking forward to this. Today, we're not only going to be discussing your book, The Solution, but helping people understand the problem. So many still aren't aware of the simple fact that we're slaves to a corporation posing as a government. And we're nothing more than resources, batteries, slave labor, and even food for the psychopaths that run our planet. Tonight, I want to start with more about your background and what led you to leave the Department of Defense and begin making your movies and writing your books.
I was in a position at Special Operations Command training Special Forces analysts how to exploit actionable intelligence. And I had been working for the Department of Defense.
What brought you to work for the Department of Defense in the first place?
Well, when I was a kid, I wanted to be a stuntman, a Hollywood stuntman. I used to jump off my roof. I used to dive off my roof into the pool when I was like 4, 5, 6, 7 years old, and I was going to be a stuntman. And then I got into baseball, and I wanted to be a professional baseball player. And when I was 21 or so, I was still in college, and I had kind of used up my 2-year baseball eligibility, and I had played for Division I baseball, and I was always really curious about all of the secret knowledge that is hidden from us under the term national security by a company posing as a government, like you said at the top of the show. So what I wanted to do was I wanted to work for the CIA so that I could get in there and start finding out what the truth was, because that was the only way I thought I could get to it, because whether it's fair or not, we have so much hidden knowledge that is being concealed by the US of A corporation, all of the different governments that are corporations. And so I wanted to work for the CIA. So in order to work for the CIA, I needed to have a bachelor's degree, a language, and a security clearance, a top secret clearance minimum. So I decided to go into military intelligence to get those things. I already had my associate's degree, and I was working on my bachelor's. And so I went over to the Air Force because I wanted to be Air Force intelligence. But then at the time when I was enlisting, they said they only had medical, which was as high as I go, because I had good entry-level scores, you know, into the military. I had, like, basically my pick of job, but Air Force. So I walked across the hall and joined Army intelligence. And then they sent me to language school to be a Korean linguist, and then to cryptanalysis school in San Angelo, like Goodfellow Air Force Base. And then they sent me to Korea, where I was a liaison to Korean intelligence divisions at the DMZ, helping them install the technology to communicate with the United States military and the Korean military. And then I went back to the United States, and I worked at Central Command and Special Operations Command. And then in 2006, I came up with a plan to end Islamic radical terrorism across Earth. And the National Security Agency had emailed me and said, hey, we have a specific terrorist issue. What do you think? I said, well, here's what I think. And then also here's a step-by-step process where we can stop Islamic radical terrorism. And the next day they wanted to pull me off my contract. And I realized, oh, they don't want to stop war. They don't want to stop these bombs from blowing up, mosques from being destroyed, children and women being blown up as collateral damage when we bomb Islamic radical safe houses. So I resigned and decided, okay, I'm going to start getting the solution out there. First, I had to figure out the solution, and then I started putting it in everything, my books and my movies, and like you said, a Hollywood and Vine, which is right about where we are now. And the Messiah in that movie gives us an interview speech to the New York Times at the end of the movie explaining what we need to do in order to save ourselves right now from the powers that be, the elite, the Illuminati, the International Monetary Fund Bank, the central banks who want to kill everybody, Donald Trump who wants to vaccinate everybody. I mean, it is just brutal. And people do not know how to stand up for themselves. So tonight we'll talk about the solution on exactly what the problem is in that area and then how to remove yourself from the jurisdiction so they can't force you to get vaccinated and they can't force you to have a smart meter on your house radiating you to death.
Yes, definitely. Before we get into that, I want to get to some of the things behind, you know, some of the problems behind what's going on in our society today. It all started, especially with going right now, it starts with a plan. And I think the key to the control has been some sort of psychological warfare. And that's been going on for thousands of years. But recently with the advent of media, television, Hollywood, now we have social media and the internet. Psychological warfare has taken a whole new turn. And it can reach so much more than it used to before we had the means of doing this. Now, now that we have Hollywood and the media, and we have the media spreading this propaganda, let's start with what's happening now with COVID-19. Like I said, it all had to start with a plan. What do you think the underlying plan is for this? Do you think it's just for more global domination, more control, surveillance, mandatory vaccinations, more draconian laws? Do you think that's the end goal for this?
Well, guide number one on the Georgia Guidestones for the New World Order is to maintain a worldwide population under 500 million people. There are 7 billion people on Earth, as far as we know. So that means to achieve that goal, 6.5 billion people have to die. And there are so many ways they've been murdering us for a long time now. Started with the whole food pyramid and heart disease and cancer. Now, as far as what they're long, and now coming with vaccines and everything and the water. So what they're going to do is they're going to follow the same plan that they did in 1918 to 1920 when Frederick Gates, Bill Gates' grandfather, and the Rockefeller Foundation were helping with the vaccines and the mass media rhetoric while the radiation wave tower was getting rolled out. That we all know as radio. They shortened radiation to radio, and that was the first COVID-19, basically, and they called it the Spanish flu, and they had two waves. So they first did the quarantine. I think they did a test turn on with 5G. Not really yet, but they've already started turning it on now, and the second wave has started. Now it's going to escalate to more numbers. And then they're going to announce, I believe Donald Trump is going to announce a medical martial law because he's already been buying MS-13 gang members to go in with George Soros, his Friends of Democracy, the FOD, and Antifa. And they're releasing criminals, and now they are running military in there. So Donald Trump said on June 19th, 2020, in his Tulsa, Oklahoma speech, I can have the military in there in 1 hour. I got MS-13 guys who will show up 2 days ahead of time and start beating people bloody in the streets. They're brutal. They're mean. And then Trump said, the United States is going to be destroyed. He said this in his speech. He used NLP. So they are gearing, and he said it's going to all start escalating. We're going to go up. He said this, we're going up, we're going up, we're going up, and then we're going to go up. I think he's talking about going up toward, there's something we can talk about esoterically, because this is multi-layered. There's the physical aspect, and then there's what the powers that be know about the shape of the Earth domain. So the violent, and that's going to start September, October, November, and then Trump says, and then head for the polls, and you'll know what to do. You know, he could mean P-O-L-L-S, polls where you're voting, but what he's telling the elite is, head for the North Pole or the South Pole, and you'll know what to do there, because that is literally going to be the only safe place on Earth. You're not even going to be able to drink the water. It's already so toxified. So we're in the beginning of the second wave, which is going to lead to medical martial law, then forced vaccinations, and a civil war with gang members breaking into houses. Trump said on June 19, 2020, in his Tulsa, Oklahoma speech, you're going to call 911 and you're going to hear a message that says we're no longer in service. He's telling you what is going to happen in that speech, even though he's NLP, neuro-linguistic programming, it off onto Joe Biden and the Democrats. Well, you got the U.S. of A corporation, and you got Republicans and Democrats, still part of the corporation. So Trump is saying that this part of the corporation, the Democrats, is running into cities and starting riots and looting and burning. He literally said that. And so that's what's going to happen. And there's a couple of different ways to deal with it as far as the solution goes, how you want to handle this. And I can help you and give advice definitely on several different solutions and what the people's choice is going to be, or the living souls of Earth, you know, how they're going to handle it.
Now, what you just said, that with this second wave, that all this is going to come, the mandatory vaccinations, do you think that we're going to see this happen within the next few months, that there will be a rapid deterioration of sorts that people wouldn't have expected?
Well, I think a lot of people are under hypnosis by the mass media, and they really believe QAnon and Donald Trump are the saviors. And they're sitting back and they're like, and it's called lockstep. They're doing little bits at a time where they are getting us ready to be vaccinated and agree to it. I've lost friends arguing over this and family members nearly. It's cognitive dissonance. The people are under a cognitive dissonance spell where they actually believe they are patriotic USA citizens, American citizens. They don't realize they're indoctrinating themselves into slavery by a corporation who is preparing to murder them as many ways as possible, steal from them, rob from them, brutalize them. And it's all been happening more and more and more and more. It really started on 9/11 with the Patriot Act. You know, this just didn't start with COVID-19, and slowly, and they have this is going to take another 18 months now for everything to just be a disaster. And we have a major financial crisis coming that's going to cause famine across Earth, because they started wiping out farms years ago. Monsanto took over. You're not allowed to even grow your own food or capture your own water. And if you were to capture your own water, you're capturing toxic nanoparticle-ridden water that's being sprayed every day by chemtrails. So it's insanity what's happening. And the people are just sitting around in their house, you know, watching CNN and playing video games and wearing a mask, and I think the vast majority are not prepared, but I do know some people who are weaponized, but it depends on how we want to handle this and what the solution is, but there's not a lot of time. You have until November 3rd or November.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the QAnon thing, because I think you're right about that. I think it's creating false hope for people that they're going to let down their guard and they think someone else is going to save us from all this. But I think the truth is that the only ones that can save us is ourselves. I don't think that there is some white hat faction that has been planning to save us the whole time. I think, honestly, Trump is just like every other president we've had, just a president of the corporation. He's a puppet, just, you know, playing his part. Wouldn't you agree?
Totally. He's a meat puppet. And you know what? He's a very talented master of neurolinguistic programming speeches. And he gives a multi-layered speech that is talking to his the elite friends in the crowd and the citizens at large who don't understand what he's doing, and to his army out on the streets, you know, not to mention to spiritual forces. He literally gets up there in the first minute and a half and he swears an oath to Satan. He just is like that. You don't make hand signals like that. And I watched the Trump from 2015, and it seems to be two different people, honestly, because the Trump from 2015 was very, like, sounded different, looked different, was more clean and well-kept, and used his hands much differently, and really seemed to be speaking directly and straightforward with what his agenda was to help the United States. Although he did mention creating more jobs, but, you know, here's the thing. Creating more jobs just creates more taxes and more profit for the US of A corporation. He's there for his company to make them profit. We are debt financial slaves. A real leader of all of us living souls would say, guys, it's really going to end now. You want to end slavery? I'm your leader. I'm here to end slavery. Here's what we're going to do. Tomorrow, everyone's going to mail their birth certificate back to the US Treasury in Puerto Rico. And you're going to get full credit and deposit for that. And then I want everyone to fill out a 1040 voucher, the 1040V, list all of your debt, and mail that to the Treasury. And guess what? The Treasury is going to send that over to the IRS. The IRS is going to clear out all of your debt, discharge it. And then what we're going to do is we're going to give you a certain number where you can buy whatever you want with. You know, a 9080 IN number is what I have in my book, The Solution. And then you guys don't even have to work anymore, because we want you to raise your children. We're going to automate everything. We're going to use nanotechnology, quantum computing, and you guys are going to live in paradise, heaven on earth. We're going to have Disney manicure all the neighborhoods. We're going to build all new smart homes. We're going to get everybody off the street. We'll give them their number, and you guys will be able to purchase everything you need, and you'll be able to offset all of your debt, and we'll have balanced books, and we'll be a productive society, and we will now start working for the betterment of future generations and the exploration of whatever this domain is that we're living in. That's what a good leader is going to tell you, and he's going to get you out of slavery, and he's not going to murder you with toxic chemicals in your water, and he's not going to be forcing dead cooked animals down your throat through the mass media and making everybody sick and dying with cancer and heart disease and all these toxins that are in our food and water. And that's what a leader's going to do.
And you mentioned 5G, that they're going to pretty much be activating this for the second wave. I've heard plenty of theories that 5G is somehow involved with this COVID thing. Do you think that there is some sort of technology that they're using to enhance it or make people sicker with the 5G?
Well, 5G itself is naturally toxic and radiated. It's 60 megahertz radiation. With 4G, we were at 20 to 30 megahertz radiation. And 95G is death ray megahertz radiation. So we've now doubled the amount of radiation that we're having. 5G is turned on. 5G is small cluster radio cell towers. So the millimeter wave is a smaller wave. 4G was a longer wave, but the 5G millimeter wave now, it's a type of wave, it's smaller, and it has a hard time getting through lead and plants, and it needs more transformers and a powerful signal. So there's a lot more closer towers. The smart meter on your house now that they put on there, which you should have removed, is a transmitter of 5G. And so everybody's having their radiation level doubled now. And people who are naturally unfit right now, this is about radiation poisoning, which is different than flu symptoms. Flu symptoms are the common flu season, sniffles, watery eyes. Radiation poisoning is a dry cough because you're not getting enough oxygen, because radiation poisoning causes your blood to make itself less useful and it carries less oxygen. So you literally suffocate from it. So the best thing you need to do is start taking aspirin, see if, cover your smart meter with lead or a Faraday cage, see if you can have your smart meter meter removed, but actually become healthier. Start eating less, start doing a lot more deep breathing, start taking aspirin or a hemodilator. Nitric oxide is good. It's a workout medication. So the healthier are going to survive this. Those who already have compromised cardiovascular systems are going to start getting sick and then diagnosed. I personally know at least 4 people who have been diagnosed as having COVID, and now they've had to go into quarantine. And their symptoms are not flu-like symptoms. It's what it is extreme fatigue and weakness where you can barely move. That's because they're not getting enough oxygen. It's oxygen deprivation. So people need to go outside because we're literally, because of the cell tower clusters, we're literally bathing in millimeter radiation waves. Same thing happened in 1918 with the radio.
When I mentioned, and we both mentioned it, that the government is really a corporation posing as a government, kind of explain a little bit more about that and the significance of that, you know, for people that aren't realizing that they're basically slaves to this corporation.
Sure, because we've been indoctrinated to see the world as a certain thing, a certain way, the structure of government. You know, when people stand before the American flag and put their hand over their heart for the national anthem, that flag and that anthem, that anthem is the theme song for the US of A Corporation, and that flag is their logo. We live in 50 states, you know, here in the continental United States, well, you know, Hawaii, so let's just say United States. This land territory is actually 50 countries. States are really countries because they have their own borders, they have their own laws, statutes, and codes, and countries are governed. You have the United States of America Corporation, which has a Dun and Bradstreet number, and it's incorporated in Washington, the District of Columbia, and by law has no jurisdiction outside of Washington, D.C., and they have a president. Corporations have presidents and CEOs and a treasury at the very least. And so Donald Trump, this is a whole fake thing that is going on. But what has happened is that this corporation has made it a business out of securitizing every vessel, human vessel, every parcel of land in the United States. The United States, I'm talking the 50 countries that we call it. And they have the United States of America in Washington has different departments. And one of those departments is the Defense Department. They have the Department of Energy. Then, you know, they have different, the Department of the Treasury. And so the Department of Defense has literally invaded the United States via Northern Command, which is headquartered in Colorado. And Northern Command and the National Guard and Special Forces are working together to invade militarily the United States. Now, what happened is the Maternity Act was created back in the 30s after gold and silver was taken off the market in 1933 by presidential orders. So you got this company, stole all the gold and silver, took it off the market, back all of our wealth by a fiat currency, basically. And the only thing that makes them any money is our human labor and taxation off of it. So what they did was every time a person was born in the United States, any of the states, the doctors became an agent of the US of A Corporation. They signed this bond called a birth certificate, and then they sent that to the vital statistics office of the country or the state where you're born. And then they made a copy of it at the vital statistics office where they hold the master copy, but they send it to Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. makes a copy of it and sends it to the International Monetary Fund in Brussels, Belgium, where they securitize it as a bond on the bond market worldwide, and it's got value. So the United States really has given away your value because it became a debt company. It went into bankruptcy. So what it did is it captured all of the human beings in the United States and made them debt slaves. And that's why one of the parts of the solution here is to send your birth certificate, because no one knows this. This is a one-sided, unconscionable contract that's been made on our behalf without our informed consent. So what part of my solution is in my book is to you create the security agreement for your human vessel, and then you create the power of attorney general over that security agreement, which not only covers your vessel, but it covers your name and an amount for the use of any of your infringements on your rights, like using your name and your body and doing anything to you without your consent, without your written consent or monetary compensation. So you send your birth certificate copy, renouncing this contract that you never were party to or had knowledge of. Take this birth certificate, you send it down to the U.S. Treasury in Puerto Rico for full deposit back to the United States. So you take the money, you take the value from Brussels, Belgium, and you move it to the United States, where now you're a full secure creditor. You've secured the credit of your birth certificate bond, and now you're no longer a debt slave using debt currency to try and pay debts. So now what part of the process after that? So once they have your birth certificate, then you'll send a 1040 voucher to the U.S. Treasury, which will list all of your obligations, and they'll offset them all, because they'll offset it against your birth certificate bond, which has unlimited credit, basically. Once they stole money from us and they said, well, we got no money to pay for anything, we had to have a way to pay for stuff. And so they gave us they created the birth certificate and sold us, but they created fiat currency, which is a debt instrument. But they were supposed to give us credit for everything that we do. Like, if you owe child support, you know, corruption has entered the bureaucracy. So let's say you owe child support. You go in there and you sign the paperwork for child support. You turn it in. Well, the child support agency is supposed to take the funds from your account and give them to your spouse so that the child support pays for your spouse. But they don't. They keep it. They put it in their pocket. And then they make you pay for it. You know. So they've stolen some of our benefits and privileges and twisted it around on us. So we've become debt slaves, but really, in essence, we don't have to be that. We've done it without really our consent. We've been hypnotized and brainwashed to think that this is all great and good, and it's not. It's pushed us soon into a corner where it's life or death.
Well, that's a good time to start talking about your book. Now, what you mentioned, some of these steps, it may seem a little complicated to some people. So first, kind of break down what the solution is for people. What's the first steps people can take? And, you know, it did sound like a little bit of a task to do of an undertaking to do. A lot of paperwork. It seems a little bit of complicated. So kind of explain a little bit more, break it down how people can do this for themselves.
Okay. So the first thing you have to understand is you are not your name. The U.S. of A is a corporation, and really the country that you live in and the government there is a corporation. A corporation can only do business with another corporation. Contracting. You, though, the solid living soul, are not the name that is on your Social Security card and your birth certificate. That all capitalized name. You are not that name. You are the living soul. I don't believe that you're a human with a soul. I believe that you are a living soul having an apparently physical experience as an electron magnetic bubble of energy with a chakra system that's directly connected to the aurora borealis. So as a living soul, though, you are actually in this physical domain, you're the surety, the thing, the securitized thing that is attached to this fictional name on the paper. So when you get dragged into court for something and they call out that name, they're calling out an all capitalized name. And you're going, oh, that's me. That's not really you. You're just the surety. You're the thing that they're holding on behalf of this bond to make sure that it gets paid. So you got to start first. This one major thing is seeing your name in a different way and writing it in a different way. So the way I write my name is I write, my name is Ronald Russell Farnham. Okay, so my commercial name, and you said it at the top of the show, my commercial name, hi, I'm Ronald Russell Farnham. It's really colon space Ronald dash Russell space colon space Farnham. And those words are spelled capital first letter, lowercase, comma, authorized representative and owner of Ronald Russell Farnham in all capital letters, no spaces, no dashes or colons. So you watch it. It's a video so people can watch it again. Now, I put comma authorized representative because that removes me. That's how I write my name. I autograph my name, the living soul name, with the colon and the dash between my first and the middle name. Now, comma authorized representatives removes me from liability as the commercial name. So if I go into court, or get dragged into court against my will, I will, you know, are you Ronald Russell Farnham? No, I'm not. I'm here to represent that fiction. And then I say these four things. I do not consent to these proceedings. I do not consent to being surety for these proceedings. Your offer is not accepted. Or you can say your offer is accepted for $10,000 because that's a conditional acceptance and they got to pay you for accepting their offer. That's your counter bargain. That's your counter plea. And the fourth thing is I demand that the bond be immediately brought forward so that I can see who will indemnify me if I am damaged. That means that they got to show you who the person is making a claim against you, especially if it's like a traffic citation. Who's making this claim? That police officer who is out there serving a fraternity and protecting his identity is hiding behind a badge, wearing a costume, operating under a false Sergeant Johnson name that is not registered with the Secretary of State of his country, state. So he can't be writing citations, which are contracts. That's fraud. It's fraud. It's commercial fraud, and it's an assault with a deadly weapon and coercion. And it's a perfected racket, so it's racketeering. They're criminals as soon as they put that uniform on and that badge and step out the door armed, committing armed robbery, basically forced coercion, one-sided unconscionable contracts. So once you understand now your relationship to your name and the way contracts work, what you have to do is securitize that name and securitize control over your vessel, because the Vital Statistics Office of your country or state holds the master title to your vessel. You don't realize this, but that's the title to your body, that the state holds title to your body, and they can haul it away if you go into dishonor by not accepting or conditionally accepting an offer from the state. Once you're in dishonor under your admiralty jurisdiction, they can haul you away because they control your vessel. So you got to stay in honor by accepting or conditionally accepting all offers. And you can do that by having a fee schedule for every offer made to you. Yes, officer, you can have my name for $10,000 cash up front, and I need to see the request in writing. Yes, officer, I will get out of the car and walk a line for $50,000 cash up front. Yes, officer, I'll answer all your questions, $2,000 a question cash up front. You're still in honor. Now, if they don't listen to your four statements that you make in court and they don't obey, I don't consent to these proceedings, I don't consent to being surety, and the other two, then they're going to say, how do you plead, guilty or not guilty? Well, plea means plea bargaining. What's your offer? They want you to think that you only have one of two choices, guilty or not guilty. And guilty comes from gilded, means to cut off your head. So you say, you can say, I plea a dollar because that's what you're going to pay. I plea a dollar. They'll be like, no, you can't do that. Oh, judge, are you practicing law from behind the bench and advising me as what? Am I your client? I can plea whatever I want. Besides that, it's not even a court. It's an administration center dressed up to look like a court. And he's not even a real judge. He's an administrator working for the administration center, trying to siphon fiat currency out of your accounts, period. It's a perfected racket. And they treat you like the dead because you're just this thing when they throw you in their jail and they hold you until they can find out how much you're going to pay into this thing based on your plea. So, you know, gilded or not gilded, you're gonna plea not guilty, then they railroad you and they come up with more charges, and they probably want people to plead not guilty so they can try and get more money out of them. So once you secure so you want to secure title to your vessel, and you want to secure title to your name and all of your things, whatever property and offspring even is important to you. And you do that first by creating a security agreement. And I have the documents. So the first step is to create your security agreement. You fill it out. It's 27 pages. Now, I have a pre-formatted document. You have to fill out certain areas. You guys can use mine as an example. Email me at theronaldshow2011@gmail.com, and I'll send it to you. So you print that off, and then you take it to the notary. All of your documents you're going to take to the notary and have notarized. A document doesn't become real and official or recognized by a court or the county recorder until it's notarized. So the notary stamp is a third-party legal witness more powerful than a judge that takes your document and births it into commerce, into reality. That's what happens with your birth certificate. So you get this security agreement notarized and you put it in your personal records and hold on to it. And that security agreement is going to have a security agreement number, and it's going to list how much you're worth, how much your name is worth, how much everything you are is worth, which is more than any country could ever pay for it. And you can negotiate what you want if someone violates your security agreement and power of attorney general. The power of attorney general is the next document. On that power of attorney general, you're going to put the security agreement number on it. And that ties the two documents together and gives you power of attorney general over all of the things, to include your name and your human vessel, that are listed in your security agreement. You take that power of attorney general, you print it out, and you go sign it in front of a notary. They notarize it. It becomes a real document. And then you mail that security agreement, the original copy, to a county recorder and have it recorded into the public record. Once you do that, if it goes onto the public record after 30 days without being rebutted, it becomes law. So that if someone does violate your security agreement, you have the recording number, because the county recorder is going to mail you back your original document with the recording number that you will keep and you will hold dear, and that is your get out of jail card, you know, for statutes and codes. If you hurt somebody physically, then you got to be responsible. This is all about being a responsible living soul, doing no harm to anyone. So if you do hurt somebody in a car accident or fight them or hurt them or whatever, then you deserve whatever punishment you get under common law. This is statutes and codes. This is commercial code, uniform commercial code. So you get your power of attorney general back, you get your recording number, and now you have control over your name and your vessel. But now you want to put that on the record. And so what you do is you create a UCC-1. Now the UCC-1 is going to list all of your things, and you're going to put the security agreement number and a registered mail number on this package that you create with your UCC-1, because there's two types of mail. There's certified mail, which is for the public, which we're dealing with the public. Certified mail is what you send in to the county recorder or something like that when you're dealing in the public. When you're dealing in the private and you want to make a case law, you do registered mail, which is a red label that says registered mail, return receipt. And when you go and mail your package out to the Treasury, which is going to be this third step I'm talking about, it's a third step. First step, security agreement. Second step, power of attorney general. Now we're on to this third step, which is creating this package that you're going to send to the U.S. Treasury in Puerto Rico, and you're going to send it registered mail, return receipt, and create your case file for registered mail. And I recommend when you do send this registered mail, you have your notary send it as a notary presentment. It's like being served by the sheriff. The notary is very powerful and is basically your private attorney. So you're going to send this package that I'm going to tell you how to create via notary presentment to the U.S. Treasury in Puerto Rico. You're going to create your UCC-1 online and file it with Maryland. And you're going to print it off without your Social Security number. And then you're going to create a private UCC-1 that lists all of your things and your Social Security number. And you're going to print that off. And you're going to notarize it. And then you're going to create the 1040 voucher, which is going to list all of your debt. And then you're going to print off a copy of your birth certificate. You're going to take your birth certificate and you're going to put it on your printer and print it off. And then there's a statement that I'm going to email you, whoever wants it, that you print on the back of your birth certificate. So those four things, the UCC-1 from Maryland that you print off, your own personal UCC-1, a copy of your birth certificate, and a 1040 voucher that you can print off from the IRS online. So you print off that and you put that in one package. You go to the notary and you have it all. You put the registered mail label on there. You tape it all up like it's supposed to. Actually, you'll go to the post office with it and they'll get it all ready for mailing, the four documents. Then you bring it to your notary and you send it out as a notary presentment. And then you serve it, it gets served to the U.S. Treasury down in Puerto Rico. And then from there, the U.S. Treasury is going to open it up and they're going to take out your 1040. They're going to notice that, oh, okay, this guy's depositing all of his credit back to us so that we can use it to offset all of his debt. And you're going to help reduce the debt. You responsible living souls are now helped as secure creditors are now helping reduce the overall debt of the U.S. of A corporation. So he's going to deposit the credit, he's going to take your 1040 voucher, he's going to send it over to the IRS, and they're going to receive it, and they're going to have a list of all your debt, and the IRS is Internal Revenue Service. So they're going to revenue the debits and credits on either side of your ledger from a credit where you're at a debtor where you are to where they move it back to the credit side. So they balance your credit sheet for you. So you no longer have any debt. And then that is the first main set of steps people are going to take to securitize that. And then from there, you go on and you get a foreign passport and you become a foreign national. You're going to get a foreign mailing address and you're still going to stay in the United States. And you're still going to be apparently seem like a, you know, regular citizen out there, but you're not. You will have removed yourself from the jurisdiction of the state. And you will become a foreign national with a 98 EIN number where you can make purchases with things. So you could buy a house with it. You could sell that house and make $50,000, $200,000 profit. You could put that profit into the bank. And now you got all the Federal Reserve notes that you need to go out and spend in the stores. So that is the main body of the solution to make us responsible living souls, become secure creditors, save us this debt issue is part of the problem and why the International Monetary Fund wants to kill everybody and the U.S. of A corporation wants to kill everybody. The U.S. of A corporation is on the hook for $125 trillion that they owe for Social Security, medical benefits, and, you know, health care, everything, all this stuff that they're supposed to pay, military. So the more people that die, the less obligations that the U.S. of A corporation is going to have, and the more people that die, the more money the International Monetary Fund is going to pay on cashing out the debt certificate bond for everybody. So it's a win-win for them if we all die. Plus, Bill Gates just sold $300 million to Donald, 300 million vaccines for thousands of dollars per vaccine after they printed all the stimulus money. So he's got money invested in the vaccines, and there's just this whole conspiracy between all of these entities working together to achieve the number one guide on the Georgia Guidestones, which is to maintain a worldwide population under 500 million. Scary.
Yeah, it's terrifying. And when it comes to a system that can, what it seems like, change the rules at any second and change the way that things work legally, it seems that they have no bounds onto what they can do. How do we know that this system that you're coming up with won't be shut down just by a simple, policy change or something from the government?
Well, in order for anyone to have control over you, an obligation has to exist. And as far as the law goes, we operate under common law. We operate under two kinds of types of laws, common law and contract law, uniform commercial code, contract law, and common law, which is if you harm somebody, it's an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Contract law, if you violate some statute, code, or financial crime, there's a monetary fine or jail time. In fact, it's a benefit and a privilege to serve jail time. It's a benefit and a privilege to have statutes and codes to pay instead of having, you know, being caned in the street for owing a debt or have your hand cut off for stealing or something like that. So we are kind of facing a double-edged sword. Now, enough people can know that legally we have taken control of our vessel and our contract name, and we conditionally accept all their offers, because their main offer that they're making several offers to us that we can conditionally accept. Quarantine and house arrest, basically, wearing masks, and ultimately medical martial law, which is going to include the vaccine. And they're going to enforce this militarily. So, and they're not going to just buy those 300 million vaccines and not use them, you know. So if they come to your door and you're holding your power of attorney general and your recording number saying, look, I have control over my vessel. I do not consent. Now, these people at your door with weapons and needles, are they going to know are they going to be trained on offer acceptance, conditional acceptance, contract law, honor and dishonor, which is what that all is? Probably not. They're probably going to say, this paperwork, it doesn't matter. This is martial law. And they're going to say, it's martial law. You have no choice. You must accept. Well, okay, I'll tell you what. Well, let's take it to the next step. Fine. You're not recognizing my paperwork. Like, I have control over my body. I don't consent. I haven't even given you informed consent. Informed consent means, what are the ingredients in this vaccine? Will you accept my conditional acceptance for my monetary fee to take it, which will be the next level? And will you indemnify me if I'm damaged? Will you pay my medical bills after you make me sick and near death? Will you pay me $5 million for the damages you're about to do me with these poisons you're going to put into my body? That's what informed consent would be. But, you know, so you're saying, first step, I don't consent. I've got control of my vessel. Here's my paperwork. You can't do this. Oh, yes, we can. No, you can't. Yes, we can. It's martial law. Look, but this is law. Here's my case number. You can't do this to me. Sorry, but we're going to do it. It's like, okay, well, wait a second. Now you go maybe to the next step. Well, I'll tell you what, then fine. I agree to it. I'm conditionally accepting your offer. Look, this is honor, dishonor, right? Admiralty jurisdiction. Martial law is admiralty. You have control of my vessel. I'm conditionally accepting. So, yes, I'll take your vaccine on the condition you pay me $10 million and you show me all of the ingredients in the vaccine. No, it's martial law. Now they're going to blow right through that. No, it's martial law. We're going to stick you anyway. If not, we don't know if you're contagious. We might have to shoot. It's either take the vaccine or you're going to be marched off to a bus and put into a camp where you're never seen or heard from again and maybe murdered. And then they kill you with 6G radiation, which is coming after 5G, which is close to 95 hertz and will melt your brain. And it'll pour out of your nose and eyes. But let's stick to 5G. So you're there now. You've conditionally accepted. Nah, we're gonna do it anyway. Then your next step is like, well, I'm still not taking it. Fine, get on the bus. Now you gotta try and escape from the bus or run. So that's where we are now. Who knows how much they're going to take, where we're going to fall into that, right? So the next step, which is what I am doing, and I've already securitized my name. I already know, I've already used conditional acceptance on the street and avoided traffic citations with a gun in my face. I had a cop about 18 months ago pull me over. I wouldn't pull over. I said, follow me home. I just waved at him. I pulled up to my driveway and started to get out of my car, and he grabs me, pulls me out of the car, takes my keys, puts the gun in my face. He's like, what are you doing? I go, hey, man. you know, what are you doing? I'm just traveling home. He's like, I want your driver's license. I go, well, I'm not a driver or an operator, and I'm not doing it for commerce, so I don't have one or need a driver license. He goes, well, I just want your name. All with the guy, I said, it's my name, and if you want it, it's $500. I just charged $500. And he's like, he threw my keys in my car, and he put his gun away, and he goes, I'm through with you, and he walked away. I mean, from a gun in my face to me conditionally accepting, he walked away. So they're trained on it. They know it. But the military and the government and FEMA have taken over the United States, and President Trump is defunding. He says it in his June 19th speech. The police are being defunded. How do you like that? How you think it's miserable now? Wait until MS-13 comes in. You'll see. And the Democrats overrun everything. Oh, it's going to be terrible. It's going to be horrible. He says this in his speech. And it's neuro-linguistic programming. So what I'm doing is I am evacuating the United States, and based on what I believe the layout of the Earth is and where the North Pole is and the Aurora Borealis and the Tree of Life, I'm going to the North Pole, and I'm driving straight up through the very top of the North American continent as far as I can go, and then I'm either flying or boating or driving. You know, I don't trust Google Earth. Google is owned by the Department of Defense. I saw it firsthand when I was working in Headquarters Special Operations Command as the SOJCSI data manager, the Special Operations Joint Interagency Collaboration Center data manager. I sat next to a guy who worked for MITRE Corporation, who was meta-tagging on a defense contract, meta-tagging the entire internet for Google, scraping it so they can reconstitute it. And Google Earth used to be the JSTARS program, and I worked research and development on that program, JSTARS, the Joint Satellite Toolkit at Headquarters Central Command. I've never said this in an interview, where I helped with R&D and feedback on Google Earth. I saw it firsthand at the J2 in the SIGINT Overhead Collection Management Office at Headquarters Central Command at MacDill Air Force Base in Tampa. I worked on that project for about, I'd say, 3 months, getting on it every day, looking at it, giving my feedback on how it moved in and out, what I was finding in my keyword searches, and I was just told, just, you know, work on it and give us your feedback. So do I trust Google Earth to be showing me what's really at the North Pole and what's really at Antarctica at the South Pole? No, I don't. So I'm going to drive as far as the Google Earth map will take me, and then I'm going to prepare, because I know some friends who have boats and planes and weapons. And then a bunch of us are getting together, and we're heading to the North Pole. And then from there, we're going to go to the Tree of Life, we think, where Mount Meru is. And if you look at the finale of American Idol this season, and you watch Katy Perry's Daisies video, she literally shows you a shape of the Earth domain as she's standing above the clouds. You can see the rings in the center, and she's above it on Mount Meru, while everyone else is pushing up daisies dead. That was like the truth hidden in plain sight, and she's a one-eyed Hollywood wonder who has sold her soul to Lucifer, the light bearer, you know, using this 666. Six is the number of the male beast, because a six represents an erect male phallus, the strong male beast. If you look up human, it means beast in the dictionary.
Talk a little bit more about the North and South Pole, and, you know, what could possibly be there, and, you know, why is it the need to travel there? What's going to happen to the rest of the planet? Is it just going to be what we talked about earlier, the eventual military takeover and unrest that's going to unfold around the planet?
Well, I think the only safe place is going to be in Mount Meru, because the beings at Mount Meru aren't going to let military forces and this psychosis into their domain. So if you go to my YouTube channel, The Ronald Show 2011, I do videos regularly, probably one or two a week right now because I've been so busy. I have a video in my videos, in the description, I have a link to the Norbs World Shape of the Earth video. NORBZ WORLD, Norb's World. You can find that channel on YouTube. You can actually go to the channel, his channel, like and subscribe. I like to help out good YouTube channels. We're all trying to get out the info. So you go to his channel or mine and find the most interesting video in the world. And it shows the Earth domain. It shows a four-ringed sloping flat plane where we are in an electron magnetic toroid field that is apparently physical, taking shape and form based on both our individual consciousness and our collective consciousness. And it's a toroid field. Now, I've been studying physics for quite some time, probably 3 years. And the most recent physics from the scientists and these physicists, the astrophysicists at CERN, CERN, the European Center for Nuclear Research in Geneva, Switzerland, they operate a super collider, which has four cameras set up on a 27-mile track where they have a 1-meter tube that pulls out hydrogen atoms, strips off the neutrons, pulls off the electrons, and sends protons at 1 million per second in opposite directions where they collide at four different points, and they're looking for what's called the Higgs boson particle, the God particle, which is supposed to show that they're trying to find the field of consciousness where this ether that we're living in, there's some kind of a barrier, there's this barrier, a veil between the origin of consciousness and this apparently physical world. So you've got this Earth domain that we're the physicists at CERN now have said that they don't believe it's particle physics anymore because there are no particles. It's all fields of energy. It's really field physics, and it's a toroid field. So the Earth is really a toroid field with energy going in through the aurora borealis where the tree of life is at Mount Meru and going through it. And also, though, and that's the electron magnetic part of it that we can't see. You and I are toroid. Look at an apple. An apple is a perfect example of a toroid field. Us human beings, we're toroid fields. We got this giant 60-foot energy bubble with a chakra system and energy flowing through us that hooks into our battery right here at our heart, this perpetual energy device that needs water and sodium and magnesium to operate. In fact, I don't think we really even need to eat. If you want to survive radiation poisoning, stop eating and let your body oxygenate and heal itself, because we don't need to eat three meals a day. I do. I try to eat only once a day, but I really would rather be eating once every 3 days. So we got the Earth domain, which is this toroid field, and we have our consciousness creating time by having the energy of consciousness come through the aurora borealis and drop into the tree of life at the North Pole, and the first iteration dropped down and created our current Earth. It created four small continents that are at the North Pole, and then it moved out and created the Earth domain as we know it, where the South Pole is really this ice wall barrier, and then that lasts for 25,000 years. And the first species that came out of there from the Anunnaki, basically the godly translucent beings that live at Mount Meru, were Negroid. The Negroid population, probably the most genetically supreme, you know, human beast that vessels that we could create to house consciousness. And then there was another ring that was created as another part of 25,000 years happened, where there's a cycle of stars and the sun and moon are charging particles and energy particles was created, and another one was created 25,000 years, and we got the Mongoloid and the Caucasoid races. And we're in a situation right now where the Caucasoid Aryan Nazi sector of the human beast is attempting to kill all of the non, you know, Aryan Nazi human beasts. And they've been trying to do it in many ways. And right now they're on this, you know, like he said in his speech, we're going up, we're going up, we're going up. I think we're going to escalate the killing. We're going to move closer towards the North Pole. And on December 21st to the 24th of 2020, it appears, based on the information that I listened to over a couple of the Norbs World videos, is that there's going to be another, we're at the end of the 25,000 year cycle. And when that happens, another wave of energy comes through and helps create another ring and open up the gates between these different borders, because we're under kind of an electron magnetic dome that is keeping us from entering the other outside ring domains. So that is how I see it. And from December 21st to the 24th, Trump says go to the polls on November 3rd, and then you'll know what to do from there. I think people are going to congregate there and maybe wait to try and go up into the Tree of Life, because he says you're going to go up, you're going to go up, you're going to go up, and then you're going to go up. He does those hand movements in his speech. He does it with his right hand. He's like, you're going to go up, you're going to go up, you're going to go up, then you're going to go up. I've watched that speech a lot. And if you want to see the truth hidden in plain sight, you're going to see. He gives a lot of direct commands. He uses softeners. He uses hand gestures. He uses eye location, pointing, quick distraction techniques. And he tells you the truth. And he's hides it in plain sight. And it's amazing the way he did that speech. He's like Hitler. Hitler was a master speaker. And Trump is a Nazi. His father was a Nazi. And he's part of this Aryan bloodline that's attempting to exterminate a lot of people.
Now, for the last few minutes that we have, you worked for the Department of Defense. And I'm very interested on how you think our technology is advanced. They always say that the military and the Department of Defense probably has technology 50 or more years ahead of what we're seeing. And that being said, how advanced is the surveillance they're using on their own people, and how far does it go?
I kind of think that nanotechnology and super quantum computers are already working. Chemtrails, I learned working for the Department of Defense that no project is done for just one reason. There's always multiple things that they want to achieve with every project. I think nanotechnology is already at work in chemtrail spraying, and that there is nothing that you can say or do. There's an intelligence called MASINT, MASINT. Measurements and Signatures Intelligence. Every single thing in reality puts out a measurable signature that can be captured, databased, and exploited. So there is nothing that is not under surveillance anywhere in the civilized world. And the destructive technology that the Department of Defense has, they have noise machines that'll make you crawl to your knees and cry for mercy. They have laser technology that can burn a hole through the earth. They have laser technology that can melt your house. They have DARPA nanogel that can melt your brain, and millimeter waves that can melt your brain. They have smart drones that are the size of your thumbnail that can just fly in without sound and blow up your whole house. They have vibration technology that can shake apart an entire block. So we literally have no defense against their technology. And if you're going to try and go to battle against them, you're going to lose. So, and they're bringing in soldiers that don't have a conscience. They don't need to use certain types of soldiers with a conscience. They have criminals working for them. Trump even said in his speech, these people are stone cold crazy. That's what you're going to be going up against. Stone cold crazy people with highly destructive tools of murder. So that's why I thought about it. I was like, I'll just, see if I can hide from them. Maybe go into a cave. I originally was in the Ozark Mountains in a survival group, and we had a cave. But then I found out that DARPA came through and has already mapped all of the caves and all of the tunnels, and there's no way to hide in any of the underground caves. They have everything there pretty much locked down. And so then I went to a militia. I joined a militia town that was prepping all of their houses and basements, and is doing that to hold off and survive that. But they've already been infiltrated by the police and the National Guard, and they don't have the weapons to fight off that. So then I decided to come back to my family and convince them to evacuate with me to the North Pole to get there no later than be on the move and up there and out of the United States, up north of Canada by the end of October, so that, you know, come November 3rd, when everyone should be heading for the polls, we'll be there and we'll be heading to the polls so that I can be at the North Pole by mid-December, so I can be ready to see what happens if those supernatural electron magnetic gates open up at the Tree of Life at the North Pole.
Yeah, well, we definitely live in fascinating and terrifying times, and I sure hope we have more time to prepare than November. What advice would you give if you really think that something big is going to happen in this short a period of time? What can people do aside from going to the North Pole? Do you think, you know, finding some kind of safe place within the United States would be even possible?
Yeah, if you want a safe place, if you want to get underground and go to the second largest cave in the United States, go to Jasper, Arkansas, and go to Diamond Cave right off of Route 7. And it's a underground cave, gigantic. It used to be a tourist attraction. And I can tell you exactly where the entrance is. You pull up to Diamond Cave gate and you get out and you'll see three dilapidated buildings on the right. Walk just past the first building, and to the right, you'll see a set of steps that's covered by moss. Walk up those three steps, and you'll turn to the right, and then you'll go about 30 feet, and you'll come to a small palm bush, and you'll make an immediate left and go around that palm bush and go up the slope and follow that on a quarter of a mile zigzag pattern to the gate of that cave. Bring a bolt cutter, bring a wetsuit, and bring food. And go under there if you want to get underground to the second largest cave in the United States. If you're afraid that your house has already been tracked, basically, and you're in the census, and they know that you're just a citizen, and they're just going to go door to door, then what you ought to do is find an abandoned house or business and adverse possess it by going into this abandoned building, cleaning it up a little bit, and doing the adverse possession paperwork that you can find at your county recorder and see if you can hide out there. If you have a basement, secure your basement, make a false wall in your basement made out of plywood and drywall that gives you the full length of a wall and about 3 or 4 feet out, and put about 30 gallons in there per person, 5 gallon jugs, you know, and gallons of water. And then bottles of olive oil, because that's going to be the fat and amino acids that you need to survive a famine. So buy olive oil. Now, if you got to just secure your house, then you can make it look like your house has been abandoned. Let the grass grow. Stop paying I would say if you follow my solution, you don't have to stop paying your bills. You can offset your debt really quickly and start using any money that you have, or so-called money, any fiat currency, to start buying water and olive oil and build that false wall in one of your houses. If you don't have a basement, do it on a main floor in your house. And just if you have kids and stuff, just say, look, this is in preparation because we heard China might be invading. And if we have a safe place in our house to hide, then we can hide there. So you're going to have to hide or get a boat and go out into the water. I don't know what the water territory is going to be like. So, or get in your car and prepare, you know, be prepared to just try and drive out of town and head as far north as possible. Other than that, you know, I don't know what other possibilities. Those are really our only possibilities. You got to start writing the National Guard, and writing your local sheriff, and tell them that you put it on the record that you do not consent to any vaccines, and that you want your property removed from the tax assessor's list so that it doesn't become so it's no longer part of the property records, because you don't want the National Guard or Northern Command or FEMA to be knocking on your door and thinking that you've already accepted it. In fact, what we should all start doing is writing official letters now that we do not consent to any vaccine. And if you do consent, you want it through informed consent, and here is my conditional acceptance for the vaccine. And if they don't, And if they you give them 10 days to reply. You can do, and I'll give you, and I have those documents, how to send a cease and desist letter, basically, and a default notice letter to, that's my dog Happy, a default letter saying that they defaulted on your offer for conditional acceptance of a vaccine, so they have no legal standing to give it to you. That might be another way to do it, too.
All right, very good. Now let everyone know where they can find your book, and your YouTube channel is Ronald Show 2011, is that right?
Yeah, so you can find my book on Amazon, The Solution, an Instruction Manual for Sovereignty and Freedom. It's on Amazon as a Kindle for $4.99, and the paperback is like $62, because it costs a lot to print, because I made the interior color, because there's color wording in it, because you need to be able to see where you're putting your name and different things like that in red. And I have all of the documentation. So if you buy the Kindle and you don't want to type up all the documents, email me at theronaldshow2011@gmail.com, and I'll send you the documents. What I do is I send you the first major step, security agreement, power of attorney general, and then the instructions on what to send to the Treasury, and those documents too. And then you can go to my YouTube channel and like and subscribe my videos, because I have a sub-series under The Ronald Show 2011 called The New United States Leader. I've taken it upon myself to call myself the leader of the United States, because I'm putting out information on how to make yourself a sovereign and how to escape this terrorism. And somebody needs to lead the people and tell them what actionable steps they can take to save their lives, save themselves while you still can. And so my videos are on there. So, and then you can see my books links on there in the descriptions. And then friend me on Facebook, because when I publish a video on YouTube, I also put it on my Facebook channel. And if I start getting shut down on YouTube, I'm going to start moving to BitChute and other platforms where I'm not going to get censored. So Facebook, look me up, Ronald Russell Farnham, or Ronald Russell Mass Lavori. That's my mother's maiden name and my father's mother's maiden name. Because I wanted to have a direction of my matriarchal bloodline. So hit me up on Facebook, friend me, and then subscribe to my YouTube channel. And you got my email address, so you guys can all email me for the forms. And check out my movie for free. It's called Hollywood and Vine. And I wrote that movie. I lived in Hollywood, and I wrote, produced, directed, edited. It's a full-length action-adventure feature-length motion picture about the female messiah who goes to Hollywood with the solution, or the sequel to the Bible, really, which is the solution that I'm putting out. So in the end, she wants to get everybody to take off their police and military uniforms, and we all become sovereign. But she has this wild adventure through Hollywood, which it's fun and wild. I wanted to make it action and fun.
Very good. Well, that was very, very awesome information. I'm going to have you back on. I'd love to talk to you some more about some fringe UFO conspiracy type topics. That would be awesome. I'll have to have you back on soon.
Anytime, Chris. I really appreciate it, bro. Thanks for having me on the show. And yeah, get me on before everybody's dead again, you know, before November 3rd, if you can, you know what I mean?
All right. Will do. Take care. I'll talk to you soon.